So I'm here today with a very good friend of mine, Alice Fern, who is currently playing Elphaba in the London production of Wicked. Alice, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How is the show going? How's it going?
Really good, yeah. Very much having a lovely time. Well, I'm about 6 months in now. And it was always going to, I suppose, I was always going to use the 6 month mark to sort of go, how do you feel? Mm. You know, how tired are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
And how is that? Because you do eight, you do all the shows.
I do all eight, yeah. Well, yeah, you're meant to do all eight. And yeah, it is. It's a beast to get used to.
I love that. You're meant to do all eight.
You're meant to do all eight. Yeah, you've got to try your hardest. It's good, yeah. I don't actually, I got used to it quite quickly. I thought,
because you covered the role.
I was Standby the previous year.
Not cover.
And that is a different kettle of fish, because obviously you can get as tired as you want to doing three shows, knowing that you've got probably the next day off, you know, more than likely. So it's a sort of different kettle of fish if you start getting tired. If you start getting really tired now, like if I do it now, then it's, you have to start realizing that, you know, maybe a day off's coming, or you're going to have to take that respite, because it is.
So it's about getting, it's about stamina and getting
stamina,
to know your body.
Show fit, knowing what your 8-show week is, you know, because you start Monday and you do 3,000%, you ain't going to make it a Saturday, yeah, and that sort of thing. So,
is that the only thing that surprised you about playing the role? Is there anything that's taken you by surprise about stepping into those shoes?
I think I knew that. I think deep down I did sort of, I think I remember having a conversation with Gav.
Your partner?
My fiancé. And saying, you know, I do think that once I got it, I went, this is a bit life-changing. I do have to really, it's important for me to not do too much during the day and to not exhaust myself and to keep my voice healthy and to keep my body healthy and all that. And so I think I obviously was therefore expecting it, because I had played it here and there over the Standby year and knew that it would be hard work. So yeah, whether it was a shock, I wouldn't say it was. I was well aware of it, and I think even when I'd watched it in previous years gone by, when I was up for it, I think I could see how tiring that is, you know. And I think it's actually funny, because Gav, when he comes to see it, he's seen it about four times this year, and he'll come and see it and he'll go, I forget. He said, I just forget how tiring that
is. I remember when I came to see it the first time, and that was when you were on a standby, because I've seen you since you've taken over the role.
Yeah,
but I remember just thinking, oh my God, she's never off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're not on, you're just off
stage, getting changed. Going to get changed, or running backstage round underneath the stage to come in from a different entrance and exit. So yeah, it is. It's just,
it's massive.
It's massive. But I was aware of it, and I sort of prepared myself for it. And I you know, touch wood, I'll touch this table. I'm doing okay so far, and I am used to it. And I quite enjoy, how fit I am, actually.
I'm the challenge of it.
Yeah, I'm not generally someone that likes to work out or run or.
You're not a gym person.
I don't like doing any form of exercise, if I'm completely honest with you. But as you well know,
I do.
But actually, I've quite enjoyed getting show fit for this.
Yeah.
It is amazing how well you can feel from doing that. I mean, it comes with its aches and pains. But,
sure.
Yeah, no, I really do enjoy it. I ask my standby now, Laura, she'll do like a week or 4 days, and she'll always message me at the end of it and just go, don't know how you do it, babe. I'm knackered. And I'm just like, yeah, I think I've mentally got myself into a place.
That's the thing, isn't it? It is, a lot of it is mental.
Yeah.
It's about, as you say, it's about the marathon, not the race. It's about having,
totally. Yeah. I am well aware that that is my 8-show week, and I have to do that. And I got myself into the spirit of going, well, that's your life now, and that's fine. So that's what it is. And because I am well aware of it, it's not too shocking. I'm sort of used to it. I'm quite enjoying it.
Well, look, I want to talk a little bit about Wicked later, but I kind of want to start at the very beginning, Alice.
Yeah.
As you know, podcasts, this is kind of like a bit of a new venture for me, and so I thought that I'd start with people that I've known a while to just kind of like ease me into
it. Sure.
And obviously, you and I go back quite a few years.
Way back.
Yeah. Well, how long have we known each other?
You're saying, so at the beginning of Mount Viewian.
Because for those of you, well, why would anyone know? But we went to Mount View together.
We did.
Which is a school for musical theatre training and actors and acting training.
I'm saying we started that in 2002. So that's 15 years.
Wow. God. That's slightly...
Just over 15 years.
Bow-clenchingly... horrendous to think that we've known each other that long.
And also lovely.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I have to say, it was really nice travelling here today because I we're in Alice's house. Beautiful, beautiful maisonette, I'm calling it.
Yes, it must be called a maisonette.
In Annerley, just down the road from Crystal Palace. And it was really nice walking here today because I used to live here,
you
didn't
lived
I?
Here, yes.
How long did I live here for?
It must be two and a bit years, nearly three.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, definitely.
No.
Yeah.
It seems like I was here for about 3 days.
Yeah, I know. And it almost seems like another world, doesn't it?
It doesn't seem like this life.
Yeah, yeah. Like a different life. And it was different. The place was decorated differently and it got better as I've got older. And got better taste.
That's for sure. And do you have anyone in that room now?
No, I don't. Someone's just moved out. My friend Graham.
Lovely Graham.
For also a Mount Viewian.
Mm-hmm. In the same year as us.
He's literally just moved out and got a place of his own. And I think we're sort of thinking...
Because you and Gav live here now.
We live here now, and we're sort of thinking maybe it's time for us to...
Just be on our own. Just the two of you and the dog.
And the dog. Well, and forget the dog. She needs her own bed probably now anyway. So quite nice to have a spare room for the old parents to stay in when they come down.
And me.
And of course you, my darling.
Loves me. So I wanted to talk a little bit, because obviously we did meet 15 years ago, but I actually don't know much about what happened pre us meeting. I don't know much about the Alice Fern before then. So I wanted to kind of go back and kind of talk about that time and kind of where were you born?
I was one of those... pretty children, ugly teenager syndrome. You know when you go through a phase, sometimes it's the other way around. Really cute child, definitely lost my way.
I think I did that.
Growing up.
Because I've got some really beautiful pictures of me when I was a child. And then I wasn't a looker in my teens.
No, I really wasn't. And I really, really wasn't.
But where were you born?
Bath.
Oh, okay.
Or Bath.
Bath.
However you wish to.
I don't think I've ever heard you say Bath.
Well, that's the... Because then I moved to Cumbria, which is there you go. There's the northern... North coming out of me. Northern. I moved to Bath when I was four. I moved to Cumbria when I was four, so I don't really remember Bath too much.
No.
However, I love it now, but...
And what's going on in Cumbria? You know, what's going on up there? Is there a theatre scene?
Really good, question, really. There's a place called the Sand Centre, which is the only theatre in Carlisle, where I was sort of near a city where I grew up, which is right on the border with Scotland. You're about 6 miles from Gretna Green in Carlisle. And the Sand Centre was a giant sort of sports arena-y thing, really, where they would have shows sometimes, lots of amateur shows, some big shows maybe might go there. I wouldn't say I ever really went to anything there. I remember seeing a production of Anything Goes by the Carlisle Amateur Dramatic Society. Truly appalling, you know. Sort of, it was really, me and Mum remember just going,
but
awful.
Not bad enough to turn
it
you
just
off.
Wasn't.
So what's your mum and dad do then?
They were carers, they owned an old people's home.
Okay.
I grew up in an old people's home, so.
Little known fact.
No, I did know that about you.
Isn't that weird that we both grew up surrounded by old people?
Old people. I like that though. I think that gave us more wisdom.
Really?
I loved it.
Did it do something to you as a child?
I think it did. I didn't have that many real grandparents when I was growing up, and I don't have any now either. And they weren't particularly close, but I never say that because I had 20 grandparents in the old people's home. They loved me, I loved them. You know, there was one that I remember called Alice that was just, I adored her. And I would go and I would sing to them, I would play piano to them,
so they were your first audiences.
And I think they do, they sort of make you, you know, things like they teach you politeness, you know, because they were of an age where, you know, polite, you know,
manners
and thank
were a
yous.
Thing, yeah.
And so, you know, they wouldn't accept anything other than please and thank yous. And
I think the thing it's taught me, I think later in life, rather than when I was in in it.
Sure.
But what I've, is that I have such a respect and such a an admiration for older people.
Yeah.
I think society, the way it's kind of focused, is it's focused on the young.
Mm.
And something that I've kind of taken from living around old people when I was younger is that actually, you know, it's coming for us all. And, you know, I've kind of,
yes,
you know, learned to kind of, I don't know, to give my time to old people. I like old people.
Oh, I love them. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. And we were there, I was there for my whole, up until I was 17.
Before, so you're in Cumbria, you're surrounded by geriatrics. How do you find theatre, or how did theatre find you?
Well, I didn't really find it till quite late. I was always quite musical. My parents, when I was young, had sent me to a couple of piano teachers until I landed
upon... historically, sat in the very corner that you're sat in now, used to be your harp.
Yes, my harp! Yeah.
So you played the harp and you played piano.
I played piano when I was really young. I'm saying about six, maybe five, six. And it took me a couple of people to find. There were some really sort of almost comical piano teachers that were just, you would think were from a film, Miss Trunchbull-esque, you know. And then I suddenly found one, Hannah, and she's still a friend of ours to this day. She taught me all my piano and my piano grades and what have you. And then I sort of was thinking, well, that's obviously going to be my route in life. I'm going to do something to do with music. I could also sing, but I wasn't having lessons. But I could definitely sing, and someone had mentioned she'd got a lovely voice.
The thought of you before... singing.
Yeah, I know.
That's so strange,
and
isn't it?
And not having lessons in anything like that in singing. Not doing
so
any
grades. So when did you have your first singing lesson?
Mount View Darling. That is Mount View Darling.
Wow, that's extraordinary. To think
but
that
I
you
sang
got
along.
In.
Oh, I mean, like I sang along all my life to like Lemmy's and Grease and all of those. And Miss Saigon was a big one when I... Because I remember going to see Miss Saigon as a 11-year-old.
That's extraordinary.
And I sang
I can't
along
quite
to all
get
of
my head
them.
Around
so in a way... You know, singing along to Miss Saigon. I mean, Claire Burt basically taught me to sing.
Do you know what? I say the same, because I did, before I went into directing, I trained as an actor and worked as an actor for a short time. But I say the same about John Barrowman and Michael Ball. Yeah. Honestly, listening to recordings of John Barrowman sing and the placement
and
the
were,
way
and you try and visualise what they were doing, didn't you, with
you
their voice and their throat.
It, and you,
so
and
I, yeah, I often practiced
that. That taught me
how
to sing, yeah.
Because I didn't have any, as I said, I didn't have a single lesson. And
so
then
what was it? What was it about that? Because obviously in between being in Cumbria and going to Mount View, you must have decided...
I had done a couple
that
of things.
That theatre was for you.
I had done a couple... I loved musicals. Oh, we always went to a musical. I remember seeing Heathcliff in Edinburgh when Heathcliff was up there with Cliff Richard. Cliff. You know, I saw all of those things. Helen Hobson, you know, I remember she became like an idol for me because I just thought she was unbelievable in Heathcliff. So I'd seen... I really loved theatre. And we started doing musicals when I was about 15 at the school, although it was very science and sport based. It was not drama and music based in any way. So I was sort of in a minority. But as soon as they did a musical, I was the only person that was up for doing it, and we got the lead, you know. So, and we did like Wizard of Oz, I remember, ironically. We did Grease. And then I was going to go to music college. That was what I thought I was going to do. You had to have three things. I was going to use my one instrument as the voice, piano, obviously, and then I'd pick the harp, as you say. Reason why I picked the harp, I dabbled with the violin, but you sound so dreadful learning the violin for so many years. I just went, I don't like this. Whereas as soon as you attempt the harp, it sounds quite beautiful.
Yeah, stunning, immediately.
So I thought, oh, that's nice. It'll be nice for my parents to listen to me practice. And then in my final year, just as we would start, you have to go and audition for music school, sorry. You have to go and play piano and all that. And I dislocated my thumb on a dry ski slope in Cumbria and was unable to play piano for nearly 6 months. So I couldn't audition for any music colleges.
Oh, my God, the best accident of your life.
Accident of my life, because I then said, well, I would like to see if I'm any good at drama. I'll go to one and see what happens. And then we ended up saying we'll go to two because we were going to go down to London, which is, you know, really far away. So we said we'll try for Mountview, we'll try for GSA. I went to those auditions. We came back. We said the most awful hotel because we didn't know where to stay in London. We stayed in this absolutely rancid hotel. Remember it very,
isn't it
very
funny
well.
To think back on how you viewed London then as to now?
I know.
Because I remember doing the same thing, coming down for auditions, and I remember booking into hotels that were literally, oh. I mean, 30, 40 yeah. minutes away from the schools,
yeah.
thinking, oh, it'll be around the corner.
Yeah.
Because it's just like... But
and then
course,
do you remember like driving through London and just being like, this is, I'm not comfortable here. Yeah. This is too frightening to drive. Yeah. And now it's completely, now it's like, I don't, it's yeah. like driving
it's
around
so
the country.
It's so funny how
it changes.
When I think back on how I viewed London when I was, when I was at Mountview, the way it's
yes,
changed,
completely.
It's hysterical. Anyway, you were saying, so you came down,
sorry,
you auditioned.
So I came down, I auditioned, went back up north, didn't sort of think much of it. I had, had fun days. I mean, I absolutely could not walk. I remember the day after my Mountview audition, it was agony because I'd never danced
before.
They made
you high kick.
I'd never done anything like that, and I was of course thrown into it. And about it was a couple of weeks later that I got this. I got a rejection from GSA.
Ha. Fools.
Which I do like to tell that story too, because I teach now quite a bit, and I do like to say, don't. You know, don't worry too much if you get a rejection, because I got rejected from GSA. And then we got a big sort of A4 envelope from Mountview. And my dad called me, and I was doing my A-levels. Do you remember?
Yeah, that letter,
And I sort of went, why? And my dad called me and said, you've got a massive letter here from Mountview. And he said, that it's weird because it's nothing like the GSA one sort of thing. So I was driving by that point. I drove home, rushed home, opened it because I had a free period in A-levels, and opened it, and I'd got accepted, and I raced back to tell all my friends.
I've still got that letter.
I think my mum and dad have somewhere, actually. Saying that they were going to offer me a place. And so, and then that was it. It was nothing else. It wasn't like, do you want to try maybe for a couple of music colleges when you're better? Mm. It was, there was no... I'd got into drama school in London, so to me that was... You can't compare.
How funny to think that you... were kind of blasé about it, and it wasn't the be-all and end-all, because for some people we know, because we both teach now, and we also have both been to drama school, and we went to drama school with people, and we teach people now who it is everything to them.
But don't you think that's different from 15 years ago?
In what way?
I don't know if it was the be-all and end-all for people back then, as much as it sort of is now.
Because of the X Factor and all of that, people just...
This sort of ferocious sort of need to do it. Mm. Whereas back then, it was... We enjoyed acting, we enjoyed musical theatre, we enjoyed theatre, and we enjoyed doing those things. Mm. And it was, I'd like to try that, I'd like to attempt that. It was a sort... Because you didn't have it quite... It wasn't so mainstream.
I have to say, I think you're right. Well, I don't know whether... I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for us too, and... me going to Mountview and me going to... It was a little bit like you. It was an accident.
Yeah.
I went to college. I trained, you know, I did a BTEC, National Diploma in Performing Arts. And everyone else was auditioning for drama schools, so I did. And no one else got in, and I did. And I thought, I best go because no one else, you know. And, it's fun, and then I kind of did it. But
it's not that we don't love it any less than the people that are trying to get into it now. I don't mean that, but it is. There's a sort of there's a lot more. I think it's a bigger sort of. There's a bigger pool of people wanting to get into it than when we maybe did.
And supply and demand. I mean, there are more drama schools as well. And more opening up every year. It's quite weird, actually.
So I think it's very. It's changed considerably from. And it's not that we didn't want to get in, but it was that. Yeah, it sort of was like, oh, okay, God, brilliant. Wasn't expecting that. So sort of by chance.
And how was training for you? How was the experience?
Oh, I loved it. It was a big, coming to London for one from Cumbria is, you know, you could leave your purse on the side of the road in Cumbria back then, and I think someone would have found it back its way back to you, whereas people were noticeably taking the purse from my pocket in London suddenly. You had to just be... It was a complete, you know... I had to just wake up and
culture
go...
Culture shock.
You know, this is not... And also, I mean, Mountview,
I remember
love
that
it.
About you, actually, to be honest.
Useless.
Well, not useless, but just not who you are now. It's been quite fascinating to watch you...
I can imagine.
Blossom.
It is very
different. Over the past 15 years. It's been amazing, actually.
It was a bit massive culture shock, but I sort of enjoyed it. I loved training. Mm. I loved everything about it.
What did you love about it? Because we had a nickname for you. We called you Sloth, didn't we?
Because yeah, we called
you
Sloth.
I mean, to some extent, you're still... You're not apathetic. You're just so relaxed.
Very sloth-like, yeah.
Whereas, you know, there were so many needy... I mean, for... Again, why the hell would people know? But Connie Fisher was in our year, and Lara Denning and Emma Lindar. So it was quite an incredible year, actually.
It really was, yeah.
But for some, that... what's the word? Some people were more front-footed than others.
Yeah.
Some people were really... They were there first in class. They were warming up 20 minutes before the lesson, and they really, really wanted it. And, you know, looking at our year, you were so relaxed about it, and yet you were... Always destined for big things.
I think I was relaxed about it because I just was like, it had never been on my that agenda. I just kept on going, God, this is great, isn't it? Let's enjoy it, because I didn't even know I'd be here. 6 months ago, I didn't even know this was going to happen.
And you weren't aware of that needy, ferocious of the business. You weren't aware of that.
And I think it's helped me, actually, to be that laid back. Mm. There's only one time in the last... So about 13 years I've been in the business now, 12. There's only one time in the last 12 years that I've ever let myself get upset about a job that I've not got, or into a state about a job that I've not got.
Which was what?
That was Love Never Dies. I was on hold for Love Never Dies for 7 months.
Wow. And how do you feel about it now?
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled because I'm
not that bothered anymore.
Really not that bothered anymore. They all had a dreadful time. So.
Well, let's talk about the jobs that you did get. So what was your first, what was the first thing you did from drama school? I know the answer. Yeah. I mean, I'm asking questions. Yeah. Can I just say, I don't know whether you remember this. I was there when you got the phone call telling you you got the job.
No, I don't remember that.
Do you not remember?
Were you?
We were in a pub in Covent Garden. you'd had the audition that day.
Oh, they called really quick.
And they called really quickly. And I met you after the audition. And they called that day and told you, and you just were like, oh my God, I'm going to be in a West End show.
I just got a West End show.
And that
I was still in school. I was still at drama school in my third year. Mm. And it was, I got Woman in White at the Palace Theatre.
And it was in its, just gone into its second year.
So it was second cast. And it was an Andrew Lloyd Webber, so you know, it was just, and it was at the Palace Theatre, which you walk past and you just go, God,
yeah,
you know.
Icon, yeah.
I'd got that, and I couldn't believe it. I remember calling everyone, just, I've got a West End show, don't even know how that's happened.
Incredible.
Before I'd even sort of left drama school. So that was, you know, it was another sort of moment where you used to.
But looking at the trajectory of your career, I mean, in the moment, it's so beautiful that you were humble about it and shocked and everything. But looking at the trajectory of your career and how it's gone, it's not a surprise, Alice, really, is it?
I see the whole thing as, you know, 80% luck a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the right place at the right time. Yes, you had talent to back it up. And I know I'm not dreadful, you know.
Well, no, that's true, because we both know some incredibly talented people who aren't working.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of luck.
There is a lot of luck involved. But yeah, I think I always just went... God, I think, you know, it was the same feeling as when I got into drama school. I just sort of went, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that. That's brilliant. Mm. And the same thing of when I got, you know, my first job, I just went, I just wasn't expecting that. That's incredible that I've got that. I mean, you know, and I had thought to myself, I had made a decision because I was a little bit bigger weight wise. Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager and getting to drama school, and then I suddenly got in and I made a very conscious decision that I needed to lose a little bit of weight for my third year.
Yeah, I remember that whole
because
process,
I sort of went, because the only way I will work is if I was either bigger or smaller.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, isn't it? You kind of have to commit to a casting bracket.
You do. And I sort of went, I'm not really big enough to be big, although I did definitely think I could do character roles really well. Mm. But so I sort of went the route of, let's go for ingenue first and see if that works. And luckily it did, because that's what got me Woman in White, really, was the fact that I was that sort of young, blonde-haired...
What did you do, Woman in White? What did you do? So you were Ensemble?
So I was Ensemble
cover...
and I covered Laura Fairley, which was the young lead in it. Mm-hmm. And Ruthie Henshaw played Marion Harcourt. That was another one, when I found out that casting, because I didn't know anyone back then.
Ruthie,
and when that came out and it was Ruthie
Henshaw.
Because we were obsessed with Ruthie, weren't we?
You can say that again. I remember going to see her as Velma.
Yeah, we went to Chicago.
With you.
Yeah.
And we met her afterwards. And that was before you worked with her.
That's before I worked with her. I know. And I just remember going, oh my God, I think that was another moment I probably called you and just went.
She was it when we were at drama school.
Oh, my God.
She still is for me. She's everything. Oh, I'm obsessed.
That was a pretty... another one of
And directed by Trevor Nunn.
And hello. Trevor Nunn knew my name.
First director you worked with, Trevor Nunn. Did he go in and do the second year?
He did it, yeah.
Incredible.
He directed it, he was in the room every day.
I mean, again, already knew the answer to that question.
Which you know, I wouldn't have thought. I wouldn't have thought he would have done it for the second
year. What was he like to work
change.
With?
Lovely, really good. I knew everyone's name. Always think that's... wasn't expecting it, because I didn't know what to expect. Mm. But you just think that Trevor Nunn won't know your name.
Real pro.
You know, there was often the moment, you know, where he would often... Yeah, Alice, would you mind just, you know, doing that again? Mm. And you would just be like, yeah, Trevor.
Sure, I don't mind at all, darling.
Sure, Trev.
Amazing, yeah. Amazing. And then kind of a quick succession of... amazing jobs followed. I know you did Les Mis.
Well, that was always the show I'd wanted to do, because it was the show that I'd very much watched. I remember watching the 10th anniversary and saying, I've got to do that. And my mum and dad crying at that one, because that was always a show that we'd always watched. So I've been in love with and had the recording of. So I got that. And so that was a very early on bucket list. And actually, I think I'm glad I did that sooner rather than later.
I've got to say, that's the one big regret I have.
Yeah, never getting,
the
never doing
one
it.
Big regret is never doing Les Mis. I'm so furious at myself. That's just something I'm going to have to live with.
I know.
But, God, I would have loved
to
have done that
show. Well, never say never, darling, but, you know, yeah, it'll always be there.
Yeah, it'll always be there, yeah.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad I did it early, because I think then...
You sat in that for a little while, didn't you?
I did 2 years in that.
2 years.
Yeah, and I think, and I did the parts that I wanted. I mean, I'd have always loved to be an Eponine, but I was never... an Eponine in a million bajillion.
Why do you think that is? What about you isn't an Eponine?
I'm not, in a really simple way of putting it, I'm not quite rough enough.
Mm-hmm. You're too polished.
A little bit, probably a little bit. I wasn't small enough in a really easy way of thinking about it, but... yeah, so I think that was what the problem was maybe there. And that's fine, you know, I got to play Fontaine, I got to play Cosette. I look ridiculous as Cosette, but I mean, you know, Fontaine was a big one. And I think doing that, I think what I'm happy that I did that early was it made me go, right, okay, so you've done the dream. So now then, what is your dream? Mm. And actually, what I realised was I want to be successful and I want to work. I want to create roles. I want to play great roles. Mm. And I want to do that. I don't just want to do that one show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've done it.
Yeah. Once you've achieved a dream, it forces you to create other dreams.
Yeah.
And create
and
other
so
challenges.
And so then it became not just I want to do that one show in musical theatre. It became I want to develop my craft. Mm. I want to be a better actor. I want to be a better singer, performer.
You absolutely
myself.
Did that, because you did, you know, two original London casts, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Shrek.
Yeah.
Incredible. At two beautiful theatres.
Yeah.
And you did create some roles. I mean,
they were brilliant and I loved it.
You did some interpretations of existing roles, should I say. You did Into the Woods at Regent's Park, you did Rapunzel.
Gosh,
I mean,
yeah.
What an incredible... I mean, that production...
That is one of my highlights for definite. So it's one of the shortest jobs I've ever done and one of the highlights for sure.
People can see that.
Yeah, it's online, definitely.
Digital theatre,
yeah.
It is. Guys, honestly, if you can get hold of that, it is the most... brilliant production with Hannah Waddingham as the witch, your mum.
Jenna Russell as the baker's wife. It was a stellar cast, and I'm not just being biased. It is without doubt one of the best productions you'll ever see of Into the Woods.
It really is.
Perfectly in the space. And it was done exquisitely.
It really was. It was. And that whole idea of removing the narrator and put it, all of that, it's a really genius idea.
Yeah, it works.
It was absolutely fantastic. Perfectly. And obviously being set...
outside,
you know, was just beautiful. And then you did Oliver at Watermill.
Oliver at the Watermill, a part that I never thought I'd get a chance to play Nancy. Mm. And that was, you know, another bucket list and just so great to... Mm. And it was, we had to create that different tiny space, the Watermill. Mm. So you had to find, it was a, you know, in a wanky acting way. It was very, very truthful and very honest and simple.
It couldn't be broad.
No. And so it had to be detailed. And so that's lovely. Luke Shepherd, you know, I'd always wanted to, I'd known Luke Shepherd and wanted to work with him. And so to get that chance and for him to have that chance to sort of show that he can do that quality of work was lovely to be involved in. And
he's a fantastic director by all accounts. I mean, and he's
so
the stuff that he's been working on in the last couple of years alone is just amazing.
Yeah, I went to see Adrian Mole actually at the Meunier recently that he's just done, and it is just again, and it's so different from what I know he's done before, and yet it's no less brilliant. He's great at detail. That's a nice way of putting it. He's so brilliant at detail. I challenged myself to go there and to sort of go, right, well, then now it's care about your craft and care about everything else. And then I did some great shows because of that in a way. And it's become a career as opposed to I really want to do that show.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to do that show. I really want to do that part. You know, I don't think of it like that anymore. If whatever comes up from my agent, I call up and I go, right, let's look at that script and let's see what that's like. Oh, that looks really good. And it's a nice way of having to change your career in that way and to sort of think of it in that way. I think that helped me.
But for now, you are absolutely stepping into... I mean, this is it's a global sensation, really, isn't it?
Phenomenon.
Really?
I mean,
how many years has it been in the West? Is it 10?
We've just celebrated 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how... Because obviously, I mean, we've spoken about the idea that you were standby for a year. And I'm sure that came with its challenges and stuff. But I mean, then of course you stepped into the role, as you say, 6 months ago. I mean, that must have just been, I mean, walk me through getting that phone call.
I'd been up for that part many, many times, you know? And so then when I got standby, I was like, yeah, okay, great. I'm really pleased I've got standby. I got to prove that I can do this bloody part though. You know, I really want to prove that this is something that I just had always known. The challenge of how big it was one thing, but I knew that it was more than just a really big thing, which it is. It's a really big thing. But I sat there and just went, I know that there's so much depth to that. It's so interesting. Those characters are so wonderful. That friendship is so beautiful. I know I can do that justice in its story and who she is, and not just show off that I can belt a top F. To then get, that phone call, I was in the kitchen. We just got back off holiday and funnily enough, Gavin and I just got engaged. So it was a pretty good week anyway. And then I was in the kitchen. I think he was cooking some bacon and eggs, and my agent called me and he was on speakerphone. So I did have a suspicion that it might be a good call, because normally it would have been private and silent and I'm very sorry to know. And he told me, and I think I threw the phone across the room and just screamed and just collapsed into a heap and just went, because I think it was many, many years. I've always worked and I've had a great career and I've enjoyed every single second of it. But it was that final moment where someone had gone...
Real validation.
Yeah. Mm. All that work has paid off. Mm. All those years of learning your craft and honing your craft have paid off. Mm. And someone's given you that chance, even though you are... not a celebrity and not a profile in any way.
And was that part of it shocking? Because that this kind of a role or this kind of a thing normally goes to, not necessarily a celebrity, because you have to be a good singer to play this role, but to someone who's well known.
Yeah, definitely. We've been in the business in a time where reality TV and reality stars and people that are a little bit more well known, and not just in that sense, yes, in musical theatre sense as well, we'll get the part over you for that reason.
Because it's about bums and seats.
Yes. Yeah. And so we've grown up in I've been in the business in a time where that has been the point, you know, and that has been a reason why I've not got lots of jobs. Mm. So to suddenly, in a way, I don't think it's completely turned, but to see a shift ever so slightly from that idea was nice just to appreciate in terms of the musical theatre society and casting directors and producers turning
for the future,
and going, let's, instead of hiring a star that's already known, let's make one instead.
Mm. And boy, have they tried to make you, because you're the first Elphaba who's ever had their face used in an advertising campaign.
Yeah. Again, a shocking moment, because they haven't done that in 11 years.
So to walk people through it, normally they use the image.
That famous image,
logo.
The whisper, the whisper image,
Yeah, and for the first time in the show's history...
Even on Broadway.
They've used your face, the actress's face.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, as a friend of yours, darling, that was an unbelievably proud moment of mine.
Yeah.
To see you, and it's, and some of the images are moving as well.
There's a digital, because now it's all about digital and things like that. And there's these moving images that you can get on the tube going
so
up the escalator.
So people don't live in London. There's kind of moving.
It's like
images,
about a sort of 10 second, maybe 5 to 10 second moving image. We had a moving image as well as the poster. Yeah, it's.
And how was that? How was travelling to work, seeing your face plastered around London?
I got a really funny video of me just going. I stood in Victoria Station on the really big screen. It's massive. Waiting for it to come up, and I stood there for about 20 minutes. I watched it come up about eight, nine times.
What does that do to your head?
I don't ever sort of get all upset about it because it's just I'm so.
When you say upset, you mean emotional.
Emotional, sorry, yeah. Because I'm just so pleased.
Mm.
I'm so pleased that they took that chance to do that. Not that it's just my face. That's brilliant that it's
but
my
you're
face.
Taking it in your stride, which is
but
why...
But I'm just sitting there going, they've done that. That's after 11 years, they've done that. I'm lucky enough to be the person that they've done that with. And it's all fit into place. You know, I was up for Wicked 5 times in total before I got it. So if I'd have got it any of those 5 times, I wouldn't have been the person on that poster. Mm.
So things have a funny way of working out.
So, you know, you sort of sit there and you go, yeah, I didn't get it all those times, but I didn't get it all those times for a reason. And I'm so pleased.
And now you're ready.
Yeah, I am. And
I've never heard the role sung like that. I've got to say, I know I'm your friend and I'm biased, but geez, Alice, I mean... It's absolutely beautiful.
You know, it sits comfortably in my voice, which means that I therefore can.
I've got to say, it was written for Idina, but it sounds like it was written for you.
Bless you. Bless you, friend. Bless you, friend.
And of course, I'm not the only person who thinks so, because.
My friend Sam Smith.
Sam Smith,
my best mate.
He's been to see the show.
He happened to come, bring his sister, I will say in November, early December. Happened to come. Tweeted about it afterwards, and I happened to, by chance, just tweet him back. We followed each other. Conversations ensued in a private direct message on Twitter. You know, me sort of falling all over him and him sort of falling over. We were just fangirling. It was ridiculous. And then...
new album.
Gorgeous. Oh, just unreal. And then a couple of weeks later, he brought his partner. And and we met him and we had a bottle of champagne after
Furious
the meeting.
Furious he's with someone because Furious, I was really hoping to be set up. But
and actually,
good
I know and I know the wedding he wants because we even talked about that. Yeah, he is one of the most down-to-earth, brilliant people I think I've ever met. And he's a fan, yeah. And mentions that... It's the way that I sing it. And I think it sits really well in my range. Mm-hmm. So therefore I can
better than in Idina's. I'm going to say that.
You said it. That's it. It's there. It's out in the ether. And I think I just therefore can move it about a little bit in its interpretation of how it can be acted.
Mm-hmm. You're not focused on is that note going to come out, so you've got the freedom
to do something else with it. And I think that is maybe what Sam Smith likes about it, because he mentions that. I think that's what people sort of go, it's like, you know, you're doing something else. I feel I'm thrilled that people have seen that. And
well, I've seen it twice and I'm going to be coming again very soon.
Oh, yeah?
Can't wait. Very proud friend. Now we're getting to the end of our little time together, my darling, and thank you so you've actually popped my podcast
cherry. Yes.
You are my very, very first.
I do like doing that.
But before, thank you. But before we go, I just want to kind of find out where people can find you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a website, a Twitter handle? What can people do to find out about you?
I don't have a website as yet, but I do
That's got to get sorted.
I know. Should I really do something about that?
Yeah.
I've always been that person of going, who would go and visit it?
So Twitter, where can people find you on Twitter?
It's Alice_Fern, spelt with an A, don't miss the A out. I've got an album out as well, which the link is on my Twitter handle. It's called Where I've Been, Where I'm Going, which, darling.
Which I worked on, obviously.
You helped me
but
with.
You know, I'm just getting the word out there.
And
what's next? I'm just going to say this, put this out there now that we're chatting, but... I know a lot of people have been saying that you should go to Broadway with this, but I'm going to say I want you staying here and I want you creating a role. That's what I want. I think going to... I'm just saying this.
Yeah.
And it's now
Let's
recorded.
Put it out there.
We're putting it out there. I think going to Broadway isn't the way. I'm saying it. Yeah, I know.
He's turning down Broadway, darling.
Bold. I don't think it's the way. I have friends who've gone and they've done that show, but then that's kind of it. And I just think, I think there's something about riding a wave. Just saying that.
I think you see what I've always been someone that's never particularly thought ahead in that way. And it hasn't done me
that's
wrong in 12,
here,
13 years.
For you.
Well, I think, you know, I've always just let things come in, fall into my lap in a way, and auditions fall into my lap and go, well, that would be interesting. That would be fun. That wouldn't be that. It's not what I want to do. Because you remember I turned down a job many years ago that you were shocked of. Do you remember? You
know, well, I was, but that was the first time, because I was very early on in my career, but that was the very first time I'd heard of, because, you know, we were all at the stage of, oh my God, we're so fortunate to be in the business.
Yeah, and to even be working slightly.
Yeah, and to even be considered for a job.
For a job, yeah.
And now, of course, you know, I'm the same. I've got to the point where I'm very picky about what I do. Mm. But that stuff comes with age. When you're starting off, you are...
Anything
you
and everything.
Anything,
everything,
you know,
yeah.
Panto in Aberdeen, I'm there.
Yes, I would like to create a role. That is something.
Well, I'm putting it out there. It's going to happen. And I'll be there front
row. Would be dreamy. But as I say, I think I just make decisions as and when the decision needs to be made. Mm-hmm. And if we can, you know, continues onward, then I'll make that call at that point. And I never sort of preempt it.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever it is, Alice, can't wait to see it.
Thanks,
and
Kate.
I'll be there.
You'll be
watching,
there front row.
Cheering you on. Thank you so much for today. Bye.